When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to a Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024 edition here on the Chase Thomas Podcast. Thank you for checking out today's episode of the program. It's Wednesday, so you know that means Chase Down Block here on the Chase Thomas Podcast with Corbin Ford, Kenny Spence, and Chris Walder, where we talk all things NBA. This week, we talk about the Lakers getting back in a rhythm of late, Gabe Vincent's return, the Trae Young rumors, and whether or not he'll be the third star target this summer for Los Angeles. The Kings, unfortunately, losing Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk down the stretch. What makes the Bucks still scary in the East? Their starters are still very elite, and when they're healthy, they're, I think, still going to be a tough out come playoff time, and we'll have to see what Damian Lillard and Giannis and Antetokounmpo and company look like in a seven-game series. We talk about the Raptors' continued losing streak, now up to 14 games. The Knicks probably not getting OG Anunoby back this season. Mitchell Robinson's setback, and just where that means what that means for the Knicks down the stretch here with their seeding. And then Joel Embiid's return. Yeah, he was awesome in his return last night against the Oklahoma City Thunder and a win there. And we'll see what that ultimately means for a team right there in the play-in without Embiid and what the Sixers can do. So we talk about that. The Heat and their win streak of late and some Victor Wembanyama thoughts as well. So all that and more coming up on today's edition of the show. If you are new to the show and you like what you hear today, please make sure you hit that subscribe button on your preferred podcast player. I would greatly appreciate it. This is a daily national show outside here in Knoxville, Tennessee, where we cover it all each and every day. Sports Renaissance Man, that's me. Covering each and every sport all week long. Every week we hit the NBA at this time. So thank you for checking out this. And if you like listen to some awesome NBA talk with some of the best NBA writers and analysts in the business, make sure you're tapped in and subscribed on this very feed so you never miss an episode each and every Wednesday. Don't forget, folks, if you're a subscriber and a consistent listener here on the program first, thank you for subscribing to the podcast. But if you have not already done so, please, please, please make sure you hit that pause button and leave this show a 5-star rating and write us a review. Tell other folks why they should tune into the show, why you like the show. It helps other people find the show and it helps this very program continue to grow. So if you could do that today for me, that would be awesome. And if you're one of those new listeners and you like it, make sure that you also leave us a rating and write us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or however you are listening to your to this very show. You can also check us out, full episodes, clips, shorts, all the good stuff on YouTube, youtube.com/ChaseThomasPodcast. Like and subscribe there. You can get in touch with us by email the show at chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com as well. Follow us on socials, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff as well. And check out the homepage, chasethomaspodcast.com, for more information about the show and everything we got going on each and every day here on the Chase Thomas Podcast. All right, Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast, where I'm still at the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Everything School HQ, where I just watched Joel Embiid's return for the Philadelphia 76ers. No Tyrese Maxey, no Jalen Williams, no Shake Gilgeous Alexander. It was still great. And it came down to the very end, and the Sixers won in really, really fun fashion. So the NBA, it's been a good night for the NBA. Nothing weird with the Knicks and Heat, as we've all talked about. Nothing weird there. No Lakers over enthusiasm over Jackson Hayes dunks. None of that. We didn't have any overreactions in that regard. And then I don't know what's going on with the Raptors. We'll get to the Raptors with Chris Walder at some point on this show, unfortunately for Chris Walder. But you know what it means. We are all back on this very program. And that means Corbin Ford of Roundball Ramble is here. Corbin, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. We got a big win. You know, Gabe Vincent's back. You know, we had a guy, LeBron literally was the crossover into a layup, crossed up a dude who LeBron hadn't even like met him yet. Like he was tripping over LeBron's aura and LeBron like drove past him for a layup. Like it was beautiful to watch. I'm sorry, Chris, but like it was the kind of win the Lakers needed, like a statement win over a hapless opponent.
Statement win? We're calling this a statement win?
I said a statement over a hapless opponent. Like the Lakers get these wins over teams that they should beat, but they don't be beating them the way they should beat them. Like they beat them, but it's like an 8-point game, or like it's a lot closer than it should be.
Oh, how the mighty like, have
you
fallen.
Your backup center do a through the legs dunk against my team. So let's not talk about what they should be doing.
All right, sounds good.
That voice right there is Chris Walder of Odd Shark and Raptors Republic. Chris, good evening, sir. How are you?
Oh. Yeah, good evening. Raptors lost 14 in a row, and I had to watch Jackson Hayes do a dunk contest dunk that would have won the competition this year. Like, dude, there's a hurricane going on outside of my house. Other than that, I'm fantastic, Chase. How you doing, buddy?
I can't wait for it to turn around, man. This month, if we just do, I should do like a montage of the Raptors check-in and just put some sad Friday Night Lights music behind it. Just turn this into a really fun, just a fun month of Raptors basketball for Chris Walder.
Sometimes when I lift my arms, there's like the confetti and stuff going off and the fireworks. Now I just need like the rain. I just need like the violin music to go on.
You can pull that
like,
off.
Something. Oh, I mean, man.
We've seen out the confetti. You pulled out the thumbs up. If you pull out the rain, I mean, we're in it. Oh, he's going to try.
Magic fingers.
It's like the Raptors is not coming up right now.
Oh man.
Yes.
Playoff foul, Mr. Kenny Spence. Kenny, good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey man, look, Heat versus Knicks. I watched the post game interviews. You got Tibbs and Jalen Brunson complaining about calls, quote unquote, and refereeing and saying Jalen Brunson was getting fouled. So Miami Heat basketball is back. We punking teams. And they're afraid, and it is what it is. And guys are coming back, so I'm in a great mood.
I mean, the side quest is over, right? With Josh Hart, he made some waves today talking about Jimmy Butler's regular season side quest that he goes on, and now it appears that that's over. So you're ready, Kenny. Like, Jimmy Butler's locked in. It's
well,
his time.
He also looked like he didn't care again tonight, but I'm fine with it. Angel Hosmer has showed enough effort for everybody.
Oh man, I love it. I respect it though. He's like, look, I know I'm in for a month and a half grind. Like, just let me enjoy my time and let me go 180% when it really matters. Look, I respect it from Jimmy Butler. But first, let's talk because you know, the Lakers and the Raptors played each other this evening. Corbin, what did you see from the Lakers tonight? And what's the biggest story this week in Lakerland?
I mean, the Raptors can't escape LeBronto. That's what I saw.
LeBronto. You know, like,
it will never end, right? That's what I saw. I mean, 23 points, all in a day's work. 10 of 12 from the field, 9 assists. He's being very, I mean, uber efficient. We saw him against Brooklyn, you know, 9 of 10 from 3, tying a career high. Uber efficient, just getting it done, like, while managing that ankle, you know, injury that he's been doing. So I love the fact he's able to get in there. Again, I love the Lakers riding into form. They're closer. Ironically, I just saw this on Twitter. They're closer to the number one seed in the West than the Bucks are to the number one seed in the East. And they're still ninth. Like, that tells you how good they've been playing.
Lakers fans are finding anything. Like, what are you doing? You're not close to the one seed. You're a playing team.
If you look at the numbers,
the Bucks are a two seed.
If you look at the numbers, the Lakers are close to being the one seed in the West. Like they are. They just are. The Bucks are not. We're not talking about the Bucks. Point being,
well, actually, they're on the rundown today. If
you look at the numbers, the Lakers are 10 games back from the one seed. The Bucks are 11.5.
This is like, unbelievable. What a spin.
Is what it is. Just say
Lakers spin news. What's happening over there?
These are just the number. Shout out to Josh Toussaint, good friend, Laker fan. You know, this is what it is. But anyway, right. Like going back to the Lakers, I mean, yeah, oh they've just been really kind of rounding into form. Getting Gabe Vincent back, like I said, I thought we were going to get Kendrick Nunn. Thank goodness we're not. You know, like, you know, he is actually, you know, I hope that, you know, he kind of avoids Darvin Ham's inhibitions of playing four guard lineups. Like, for the love of all that is holy in basketball, please don't. But like him being healthy, you know, having a POA defender, you know, a guy who can hit some shots in theory, like that makes sense. D'Lo's been having since he's been starting, D'Lo's been great. Like since the turn of the year, basically since the trade deadline, you can even know it's been past that because here he is continuing to play well. Austin Reed's been doing well. AD, you know, so at this point, like, and I say the Lakers gonna make a big run to the Western Conference Finals. No, I'm not saying that. Now, did I know they're going to make a big run last season? No. So am I saying anything? I don't know. But what I am saying right now is that the Lakers are really kind of rounding into form, which is good to see because right now, like, they have a chance. I mean, they don't have a chance. They have a chance mathematically. But, like, just to kind of cement where they are in the standings and maybe the Suns free fall. I mean, they had a big win over the Pelicans, but maybe the Suns fall down. We'll kind of see how the rest of the order shakes out. But right now, as long as the Lakers are playing their best basketball as we round into April, you know, the middle of April, I think they'll be fine even in a playing game, just, you know, with that elimination game mentality of LeBron James.
Oh, wow. You're feeling good, man. But also, if Bronny enters the portal, what does that mean for LeBron's time over the next couple weeks? Because he's got some recruiting visits to go on. He's gonna be all over the place a little bit potentially here if Bronny ends up the portal.
You know, it's funny. He said that, you know, Bronny's a grown man. He's going to figure it out, that sort of thing. I think LeBron, here's my thing. I think LeBron's going to play two more years anyway. Like, I thought LeBron was going to retire at 41. So, in my mind, fine. He doesn't play 2 years of Bronny. He only plays one. Let's be real. Like, from what we saw for Bronny, I think another year in college won't hurt him at all. Like,
for sure.
It'll probably be truly beneficial. So, I still think LeBron plays two more years. I think that lines up still with him playing with his son. Now, what level LeBron will see, who knows? But I didn't think we'd see this level at 39. So, I'm not really too worried about the transfer portal, but it is interesting to kind of see. I think it works best for both parties. Like, USC's not really going to miss him, and I think Bronny could shine somewhere else.
I'm interested to see if he does end up in the portal and go somewhere else. I'm curious where he ultimately does go. But also the other thing I wanted to touch on with the Lakers, I mean, friend of the pod, Yovan Bua, who I think will be on next week, talking about the Lakers going big game hunting. So it's like your optimism right now at the Lakers. It's like it seems like they're excited for whatever happens here. I mean, they're like, hey, if we can make a run, cool. If not, also cool, because Trae Young, or they're going for the third star this offseason. And I don't know if you've been watching the Hawks the last few weeks. It's captivated America. All I'm getting is texts all the time. Like, did you see Garrison Matthews go 3-for-6 from deep last night against the Bulls? Can't tell you how many times I've been hit up about the exquisite play from the Atlanta Hawks of late. But look, I mean, as cool as it is that the Hawks are pushing for that 9-10 matchup here in the play-in, I mean, they're playing really good basketball without Trey. And DeJounte Murray, we talked about last week. Kenny, you talked about it with DeJounte really, really rounding into form and really taking the ball and running with it.
44 shots. I respect it.
Yeah. I mean, but I mean, Bogey has been great of late. But, you know, I don't know. I asked some folks a month ago where I was like, are we sure that Trae Young hasn't already played his last game as an Atlanta Hawk when he went out for the season with the ligament issue? And I don't know. I mean, I still think it's a non-zero possibility if he does get moved this summer, depending on how the Hawks want to go about things and where Trae's at. And there's a lot of time to figure out this this conundrum potentially. But I mean, how much are you thinking about Trae Young as a possibility this summer, Corbin, and is that something that you want the Lakers to do? Is the what will probably be the last big move of LeBron's career is something like Trae Young to the Lakers?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want that. No,
would you really not?
No, why would I want that? That's
for
like
Austin
a worst
Reeves company for based on what it will cost. Would you really not want Trae and AD and LeBron just to see in this last year, maybe two?
No, I mean, and it's like a work. It's like a weird. It's almost like the Russ thing all over again. And what I mean by that is
that's a little disrespectful to Trae Young. He's a lot better than Russ at this point.
What I mean, well, let me hear me out. Okay. I'm not saying they're in the same way. I'm just saying like it's an awkward fit. Like, Trae Young doesn't play off ball with DeJounte Murray. You playing off ball with LeBron James. Like, you are. Like, there's no Lewis. You can't even do – you doing U-turn, my turn with DeJounte Murray. No disrespect to him. But DeJounte Murray at LeBron. DeJounte Murray ain't 39-year-old LeBron. So you can barely do that. Like, that's already an issue, right? Like, we're basically saying, okay, can we relegate you to being like a second side, pick and roll, ball handler, that sort of thing, play off him. Your point guard, like Russell's point guard, but really LeBron's always point guard, right? Even in his advanced age, right? So we're saying that on the one hand. On the other hand, he's even less effective defensively than Russell Westbrook was. Like, as a point guard who needs to command so much of the offensive usage while taking on so little of the defensive usage, whether for effort or just physical stature, it is what it is. But to have that combination of a guy and say, okay, let's put him next to a 32-year-old at that point, Anthony Davis, and a 40-year-old LeBron James, because that's going to work. Like no. Who are you surrounding them with? What? Who are you going to be able to afford defensively to surround with those guys? Going to go back to that 2022 Lakers where you have like four or five people that are on their way out the league. Defense going to be abysmal. Let's, you know, knock on all the health that you have, good health from LeBron and AD, or it's going to be Trae Young and Hawks West.
What do you have to lose? Is there a better option this summer if you're going to
lose the last little bit remaining of what LeBron's extended prime is?
I mean,
you know, like, that's a lot to lose. Whatever draft picks and capital you have to get for Trae Young, because Trae Young's not a bad player. Trae Young's a bad fit for the Lakers. You know, so you lose.
So you're gonna be mad if that happens. You're gonna be mad.
Absolutely. Listen, I was mad with the Russ trade. I'm a Russ fan. Like, it, again, I'm not a Trae fan in that way. But like, for me as a Russ fan, it was always easy to root for Russ and root for the Lakers. And no, Russ will be gone by the first round. And I could still root for the Lakers. Like, when they became one of the same, I was like, oh no. Like, I saw the ceiling, and I didn't know that meant that plus that equals out the playoffs. But like, I saw that meant we were limited. With Trae Young, I appreciate Trae Young as a basketball player. But I also imagine the Lakers are going to get further in the postseason than Trae Young has the last couple of years, you know? So, you know, outside of 2021, which was an injury-riddled season for the Lakers, like, that's been a thing, right? So in my mind, yeah, like, if you put them both together, nah. I think Trae Young is a good basketball player. I just don't think it's a good fit basketball-wise.
Do you agree, Kenny?
Yeah, I actually do 100%. Trae Young is one of those guys where I don't like saying empty stats because he is a great player and I don't really believe in the empty stat stuff, but I don't know how much he's helping your team win because of the defensive stuff. And Corbin hit the nail on the head. Trae Young needs the ball because he's so great with the ball. He makes such great decisions, whether it's passing, whether it's going to the floater, whether it's pulling up, whether it's whatever it is, but he needs the ball. And LeBron needs to have the ball. It's the difference between the player needing the ball and you better give this player the ball. And LeBron is that second one. And so that fit would just be a little too weird. Unless they know LeBron is out next year and they're going to start over, then fine. But aside from that, I don't really see it.
But would you hate like LeBron retiring and you see how it goes and then you build around AD and Trae and then go big game hunting for a third star again a couple years after that? Like, are you sure that's not worth exploring?
32-year-old AD and Trae, you think is a good 1-2 punch?
I think it's fine. I think it's fine.
And 2K maybe.
Not in the West, I mean, it's not.
Yeah, not. I mean,
Chris, you don't like it.
If it was in the East, it's a different conversation. But the West is so stacked, and I think just go into the idea of him being a Laker, you have to gut your roster for Trae Young. Like, you're giving rid of like at least two of Hachimura, Russell, and Reeves, and the Lakers. Like, their offense isn't a problem. Like, the defense is the issue. And you're, like, significantly, like, cutting yourself at the heel defensively by bringing on Trae Young. And there's no guarantee that the dynamic of him and LeBron is going to work. I don't know. Like, I would stick with what you have. I think that's a better position than getting rid of some of your core guys.
Yeah, the thing is, it's more of a timeline thing also. If you're going to make a win-now move, you need somebody who's ready to win now. And I don't think Trae Young is there yet.
We shall see. I don't. No matter what, I do think it's clear that the Lakers are going to take one final big swing at a third star as LeBron rides out into the sunset. And I'm curious who it ends up being. Maybe it's Trae. Maybe it's somebody else. I don't know. Somebody else will be unhappy, and I'm sure something else will come out. Maybe it's Chris Middleton. Maybe if the Bucks have a flame out, maybe it's Chris Middleton for a last. Well, maybe it's
Paul George has been real. I'm not going to speculate, but he's been real unclear on what he wants to do. So
that'd be a better fit.
Yeah,
you know, and even Paul George, an older Paul George who's battled injuries the last couple of years, like stylistically, basketball wise, put those two in AD is what we should have had 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I like it. Kenny, what do you think of the Kings losing Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk here down the stretch? Huerter out for the season. Monk, I think they'll get back, right? He's not out for the season, correct?
That I honestly don't know. But either way it goes, coming down the stretch, that's real tough, especially with Malik Monk, as great as he's been. Kevin Huerter started off the season slow. He started to pick things up. It just makes things tough for him because they both provided the shooting, especially Kevin Huerter, and the spacing they needed with the actions they run with DeMarcus Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox, just creating that space for them. And so I think just in general, it's going to be real tough for him. And it's unfortunate because, well, I didn't see this Kings team going that far anyway. But it's a little less fun because you can't really believe as much as you'd like to because they just don't have the guys right now.
And it's, you know, it's weird too about the Kings. You wouldn't feel like it, but does it feel like De'Aaron Fox has a 30% usage rate? Like when I watch the Kings, it doesn't feel like he...
It's like a lot of Sabonis.
Right?
Yeah.
He has a higher usage rate than Sabonis. Like I wouldn't guess that. I wouldn't guess that De'Aaron Fox is one of the league's highest usage rates.
I would never guess in a million years.
Yeah.
Well, they ran the offense through Sabonis like almost exclusively, but apparently not.
No, like that's the thing. Is I'm still scrolling and I don't see Sabonis. Like, I mean, we're way down here. Like Kristaps has a higher usage rate.
I believe that though. The Celtics go to Kristaps a lot.
Yeah. Man, Miles Turner.
That's a little crazy. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm still going. I don't know where he is on here, but either way. The Kings, I think it's just kind of funny because they've just been quietly a playoff team. They're going to be a playoff team. The seeding is weird. I mean, we look at the Mavs right now who are surging and have really figured out their rotation and they're healthy at the right time. Luka's hitting just like horse shots at the rim at the moment. Like he's just playing at another level. And if you get a 4-5 matchup, that's the worst case scenario, I think, for the Clippers. If that's what ends up happening for them is if they like there's so much seeding gamesmanship going on right now, which I actually really do love down the stretch here. But
yeah,
the Kings, it feels like if you're a lot of these teams in the West, like you're like, yeah, look, give me the Kings. Like, I just don't think the Kings scare anybody. Right.
And I think they were like that before the injuries, too. So now, especially when you don't have Malik Monk coming off the bench and being explosive the way he is. They definitely just strike no fear in anyone's heart. And it's unfortunate because I like the Kings, but I never saw him as a threat before. And I definitely don't see him as one without those two guys.
Yeah. I mean, do you see him winning a playoff series, Chris?
I think they need to get out of the play-in tournament first and foremost. Like if you look at the standings, like they're currently the eighth seed. And I wouldn't pick them right now. I mean, in that group with Phoenix, the Lakers, the Warriors, the Kings are easily the least experienced team of the bunch. And they probably have the least confidence amongst like fans, just like fans of the game right now. So get out of the play-in first and see what happens. But yeah, like those aforementioned injuries, those are a big deal. And again, in those like one-offs, like with Phoenix or the Lakers, like, yeah, like one step at a time, get out of the play-in. I wouldn't like their chances right now.
I don't think they're going to, I mean, they're right there. The play-in, I mean, the Pelicans are a game up on the Kings and the Suns at the sixth spot. I think the Mavs, even though they're 6.5, I think they're pulling away. I don't think the Clippers will end up being, the Mavs have won 7 straight. The Clips have won 3 straight. I think they're going to be fine. I also, even with the BI injury, like I don't think the Pelicans fall into the play-in. That's a disaster for them if they fall into that role. But I mean, honestly, I say that the Nuggets are kind of, I mean, that's the thing is like, I think a lot of West teams like outside of that top three really wish there was more separation between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves right now and that they were not tied up because I think that's just what you want to avoid at all costs, right? No one believes they're beating the Nuggets in a first round series. No,
oh, absolutely not.
Like, the Pelicans are like, I don't want to be in the play-in, but I also don't want to play the Nuggets in the first round. I don't care with Zion or a healthy BI. Like, we're not winning that series, right? Like, it's just, there's so much gamemanship, and that kind of sucks for the Pelicans if they avoid the play-in, but here's your prize. You get Jokic in the first round.
I will say, though, looking at it, and this isn't what we're talking about. I'm sorry for going off a bit. I would like, if the season ended today, that Clippers and Mavs matchup. Just having Luka kind of go at them again, that would be pretty fun.
Yeah.
That'd be fun, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I don't think, I mean, final day on the Kings. What do y'all think? Come playoff time, after the play-in games happen, do you think the Kings end up making the playoffs?
No.
No, the West is too crazy right now.
That's a bummer because they've been a playoff team all year. Yeah. They've been somewhere in that 3-6 range. And then to just not make the playoffs with some bad injury luck, De'Aaron Fox, though, and Sabonis have been healthy all year, to then just not make the playoffs.
Yeah. This season
reminds me of how great the West is.
Yeah.
This season almost reminds me of, I want to say it was 08, where the Warriors won 50 games and missed the playoffs. And that's how crazy the West was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like that. Almost.
That's crazy. That stinks. Chris, the Bucks, who you slighted at the top of this show here, you went against the Bucks right out of the gate. They have a plus 16 net rating with Chris Middleton, with Giannis Antetokounmpo, with Damian Lillard, with Brooke Lopez on the floor together. Are we sure if those five aren't healthy, the Bucks aren't winning the Eastern Conference?
I love that you're asking me this after they just lost to the Washington Wizards. Like, hey, I know Damian Lillard wasn't playing.
Whom's among us haven't been lost in the muck against the Washington Wizards?
Hey, Toronto Raptors, they're a part of that losing streak. So I'm not in the position to talk. But yeah, I mean, those are obviously great numbers for that starting lineup. But like looking, and I know they dealt with injuries throughout the course of like the last month or so in March, but they were barely a 500 team. I think they were 8-6 in the month of March. They had the 15th best offense. They had the 20th best defense. And this is with, you know, Giannis playing a good chunk of games, Lillard playing a good chunk of games. I know that five-man core didn't play as much as they probably would have wished, but now you're going into the playoffs. And like Corbin was mentioning, like the gap between Milwaukee and Boston is so substantial compared to what the play-in teams are in the Western Conference. Like if you're looking at, with Philadelphia, for example, they just got Joel Embiid back, and there is a very strong possibility that it's going to be Philadelphia and Milwaukee in the opening round. And as of right now, I would love Philadelphia's chances to upset Milwaukee again. We just saw what happened with the Bucks last playoffs. So nothing's guaranteed on their front. I know Kenny's loving that anecdote right there. But yeah, no, the Bucks, despite like their star power and their like their loaded starting lineup, it's kind of like the Sacramento Kings. It's like, yeah, it wasn't that long ago that they won the NBA championship. But like, I still have a lot of questions about their defense. Like Damian Lillard, you know what you're going to get. He's going to hit clutch shots. And when the game slows down in the playoffs, that might come in handy, of course. But again, when the game slows down and defense becomes much more of a priority, is Lillard going to be a detriment in these close 7-game spurts against like the best of the East? I think we're going to be talking a lot about that once the first round comes, especially if it is Philadelphia and Milwaukee. So, yeah, I definitely have a lot of concerns about the Bucks at the moment. And again, they just lost to Washington, so not great timing.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'm buying the Philadelphia is just going to win a first round series as an 8 seed or 7 seed. Maybe Joel looked good tonight. He played, 30 minutes, I think, total, somewhere around there. He's going to be great. Maxey's been out the last 2 games. They're not the deepest team. I don't know. I'm not convinced that the Sixers are going to be able to scramble together, get healthy, and be able to have an upset. Yeah.
Like Buddy Hield's a nice piece for that second unit. Like Kyle Lowry, veteran presence with a championship campaign, has been giving them some really strong minutes as well. And I'm a really big fan of Reed as like your backup big. So, and Joel Embiid, like before he got hurt, he was easily going to be repeating as most valuable player. And when you have the best player on the floor, regardless, you are in good shape. So I think they're definitely going to get out of the play-in tournament. It's just a matter if they match up with Boston or Milwaukee. Like consider like even in Boston's position, like you dominate the Eastern Conference throughout the entire year. And what's your gift in the first round? The best player in the sport.
Yeah. Well, they struggled with those last playoffs, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not even necessarily against the idea of Philly winning. I just truly do not believe in the Bucks. I don't believe in them at all.
If healthy, like even with Lillard in the fold this time, like it would surprise you if the Bucks won the East.
If they're not winning the East.
Yeah.
They're not winning the East. Because this is the thing, right? So you got Lillard, and Chris already mentioned the defensive stuff with him, and that's one thing. But another thing we can't overlook is we're talking about how great their starting lineup is.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to remember who their coach is and how weird he is with rotations.
Yeah.
They're just not going to get very far with just their starting lineup being that good. And so I just don't see it.
Do you agree, Corbin? not a Bucks guy?
No. They've been inconsistent all year. I mean, Damian Lillard's lost a step. Giannis is Giannis, but like, I don't want to go into that train. But has he really made improvements in his game? No, I'm just kidding. But like, Giannis is Giannis. I don't know what to say. Like, he is that. I mean, that's dominating for like 86% of the NBA. Mm-hmm. Right? And on the right playoff streak with the right refs. Okay, I'm just kidding. Like, it's pretty good. But I'm just saying at the end of the day, they've not shown, uh-oh, here come the Bucks. Like, yeah, they should be good and they've been somewhat good, but they haven't been great. That was with Adrian Griffin. That's now with Doc Rivers. Like, I don't know why I should be impressed. Like, I'm not saying that they're like, you know, where the Cleveland Cavs are, the New York Knicks, no disrespect to them, but like, you know, no.
I think it's just going to be very hard to beat the Bucks' healthy five of Beasley, Lillard, Brooke, Giannis, and Middleton four times.
But the thing you got to like, so with, even with that lineup in the space, and I understand Chris Middleton just got back, but
yeah,
even, let's say it's just Giannis and Malik Beasley and Dame and Brooke. Dame and Giannis themselves alone, they're supposed to be world beaters.
Yeah.
And they've just convinced nobody all year. And so I'm.
But you don't think there's a different gear come playoff time? That they're waiting and we're going to see a different type of performance from this group.
Depends on who they play against.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think everyone's going to sell on the Bucks. And I'm going to be like, think, I'm like, here.
Like outside of Giannis and Lillard, there used to be like an aura around that Bucks team. Yeah. I don't think mm-hmm. Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton are scaring anyone anymore.
Jrue Holiday was a lot more important than people ever would want to give him credit for.
Yeah.
That part.
I could see it. Well, there you go. We'll see what happens. But yeah, not a lot of optimism. I also wonder too if it's like if Budenholzer was the coach right now, how many people would think differently?
Because he had a bad series, but at the same time, like his brother had just died. Like
the timing was bad. You should have fired him for the same coaching thing he did two postseasons ago. If that was the case, but two postseasons ago they won the whole thing. So you know what I mean.
And you also could have just rehired him. Like, if you're going to hire somebody at the deadline, or you're going to hire someone in the middle of the year, just be like, we made a mistake. come back.
Jonah did it with Steve Clifford.
Yeah. That guy, I think, is going to get more time, too. Shout out to Steve Clifford, man. Keep getting them checks, because I think he's close with their new GM, Peterson, back with their Brooklyn days and everything. Like, I was reading, I'm over here doing my deep dive into Peterson, the GM for the Hornets, and thinking about their offseason. And it's just like there is a connection there with Clifford. So I'm like, oh man, Clifford, he's gonna hang around for a little bit. But we'll ultimately see on that front. Chris, unfortunately, we did talk about what happened with the Raptors tonight. But what is the biggest story out of Toronto this past week, sir?
Well, I mean, a lot of people forgot about Jontay Porter, thank God. That's kind of fallen to the wayside. Never happened, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, outside of obviously just the losing streak, 14 in a row, got walloped by the Lakers. Again, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron James, what did they have to contend with? Like, the starting front court tonight was Grady Dick, Bruce Brown, and Kelly Olynyk. Yeah, you guys better have won by double digits. They were my betting odds, 12.5-point favorites. I easily took the Lakers to cover the spread. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, it should have been way more than that. Raptors have been abysmal at home as of late, especially defensively. I think the only good thing tonight to take away from tonight and as of late is that RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley are back. Both of whom had to take a leave of absence. Barrett, obviously, with the untimely passing of his younger brother, which was horrifying. Emmanuel Quickley, I think his uncle also had a health episode, passed away as well. So it's just nice to get them back on the basketball court. Obviously, two key parts of your team. If Scottie Barnes was out there tonight, I don't think LeBron James would have been as effective, just because in recent performances against the Lakers, Scottie Barnes has been a thorn in LeBron's side. You brought up LeBronto earlier, Corbin. We don't talk about that anymore, buddy. 2019 NBA championship. Check Wikipedia. It happened.
You know, that's fair. I mean, they recognize the demons of others, I guess. No, I'm playing.
Just like, you know, hang the banner here in the apartment. But yeah, we're just honestly, like, I'm looking at the schedule for the rest of the year. Raptors might get lucky and win one more game, but at the same time, it's not the worst thing in the world, because keeping that pick, like we've talked about on previous podcasts, currently belongs to the San Antonio Spurs. But if it's a it's only top six protected. So at that point, even if it's the world's worst draft, which a lot of draft experts are dubbing it as, at least you get some sort of like trophy at the end of this just abysmal season.
Goodness gracious. What if you did explain one, like in one way, why the Raptors have lost 14 straight games? Like, is there been moments where they're just not, because like they're going to be they're going to have some close games late sprinkled in there. It's not all blowouts. Like, is it just guys not being available? Is it just the roster? Like, what is the reason as to why it's actually been this bad and they've lost? It's hard to be on a 14 game losing streak in the NBA.
I mean the season went on a tailspin when Scotty Barnes got hurt. It's like you said, it's availability. Like, Jakob Poeltl is your top interior defender. He's missed time. Barrett and Quickly, like I just mentioned, they've missed games as well. Like, you've basically been plugging guys in from the 905 G League team just to fill out a 10-man rotation. And if your best players on any given night are Grady Dick, who's had his shortcomings, he's not going to be the number one offensive guy. Gary Trent Jr. is taking 30 shots a game because no one else can. And Bruce Brown, who has completely shattered his value. Like, he's basically public enemy number one with Raptors fans right now, because, and not all of it is his fault, because I think a lot of people really would have liked to have seen him moved at the trade deadline when he still had some sort of value. And now you're going into the summer and basically just hoping that his expiring contract will generate some sort of traction, get you a first round pick, which I think is out the window. I think you'll be lucky to get a couple of second rounders for Bruce Brown right now. So the expression, like I've said before, when it rains, it pours. It's hard to find that glimmer of hope this season. It's just it's better when it's over, because it's a season to forget. And I think it's the worst season in franchise history outside of like those initial, you know, 90s years when it was still an expansion team. Like, I'm not going to hold that against the team.
And Damon Sonnerai was fun. So you don't even have that. It's kind of rough.
Yeah, exactly. Scotty's good, but Scotty's not fun, right? Like, Scotty is like one of those things where, I mean, do you think he's fun when you watch
Scotty's fun?
Do you think Scotty, he's fun?
I love Scotty Barnes.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's not very good.
South Florida native Scotty Barnes, but also, yeah, he's all, I like his versatility. There's nothing he does wrong. I mean, not wrong. There's nothing he's not good at in the floor. I like him.
He's Magic Johnson. He's like Magic Johnson. Like, he has length, he has size, he's great in transition, great facilitator. Like, he's a guy who's like a jack of all trades, like a Swiss Army knife, can do a little bit of everything. I never understood the grief that this guy gets from non-Raptors fans.
I think it's the shooting. I think people are waiting on the shooting.
He's improved his shooting considerably this season.
Yeah. But I think that's what the last thing is. Like, that's where he ends the detractors. When the shooting is there, there's not a lot of not a lot of holes to Scotty Barnes' game.
The thing with, and this happens, and I don't know if this is gonna like make Chris like love me when I say this, but I just feel like with the Raptors, people don't pay as much attention as they probably should.
Sure.
And so when they do have really good players or go on a really good run, it just kind of goes under the radar. Mm-hmm. Scotty Barnes has been very good this year, but the Raptors don't get the national attention. They don't get the national TV games, which now everybody's injured. They shouldn't, but
yeah,
it always takes a little longer.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like, people didn't know how good Kyle Lowry was until like 4 years after he was very good. So it's just like, that's just how it works out there.
And just for the record, Scottie Barnes improved his shooting from 28.1 to 34.2%. So he's not Stephen Curry, but like he's making significant strides. Once he gets like a consistent 3-point shot, he'll be a top 15 player easily in my
opinion. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Kenny, when we talked about Joel Embiid, I watched Thunder Sixers tonight. It was a lot of fun. Sixers come back late. They were down as high as 9 with like 5 minutes to go, and fun game. One of the things I jot down is like, man, they really rely a lot on Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre is an important piece for this team right now. But what is the return of Joel Embiid, who looked fantastic tonight as he gets ramped back up into the rotation? No Tyrese Maxey. But it seems like he should be back very soon. What does this mean for Philadelphia's postseason potential? Right now, it's slotted the 8 seed. Like, do you think they've dug themselves too much of a hole without Embiid that they can really make a deep run? Or do you think having Embiid back is still enough? Because, I mean, I think he still leads the league in individual plus minus across the league. So I don't know. Where do you stand on can actually be realistic for the Sixers?
The East is tough to gauge because it's kind of the opposite of the West. The West, anything can happen because everybody's so good. The East, anything can happen because everybody's just so, aside from Boston, everybody else is pretty average, regardless of what the record is. Nobody's just really scary over there. But it's going to depend on matchups. It's going to depend on schemes. Yes, Joel Embiid is the best player. No, Jokic is the best player in the league. But he's been the best player in the league this season for the most part before he got injured. But he's one guy. And Tyrese Maxey has been incredible this year. He's very young. But if you kind of figure out a way to scheme against those two guys, the Sixers are in trouble. Buddy Hield, I like Buddy Hield. I don't know how many playoff games he's winning you if Embiid is struggling or if Tyrese Maxey is struggling. Like y'all said, there's a lot of Kelly Oubre right now.
I mean, Hield's not playing crunch time.
Yeah, so it's they're another team that's kind of on the fence. Mm-hmm. And a lot of where they were before Joel Embiid got hurt was because of Joel Embiid. I'm not going to complain about the free throws and stuff like that, but they were leading the league in free throws at the time. Yeah. It's like Joel Embiid's impact on that team is incredible because he's an incredible player, but I don't know if relying that much on a single player is the best thing for the playoffs necessarily. A lot of it is going to come down to Tyrese Maxey and how ready he is to take that leap in the playoff. Regular season, we've seen it. He's been amazing. But that next step, a lot of it's going to be on him because teams are going to kind of figure out the Joel Embiid thing. Not figure out, but one player, I just don't know.
I wonder who's their best five, do you think, come playoff time? Who do you think Nick Nurse ultimately trusts, Chris? As someone who has had Nick Nurse coach his team for many years, based on the Sixers roster, let's say Maxey's healthy, let's say Embiid's good and ready to go, what do you think is the five? Because he's gonna shorten this rotation, and he's going to go with 6-7 guys max come playoff time. Who do you think is going to be Nick's closing five? Who do you think he's going to trust the
most? I would say it's probably going to be Lowry, Maxey. I could see Kelly in that five-seven, and then Harris and Embiid.
Okay. I mean, does that, Corbin, sound like a team that's going on a deep playoff run?
Yeah. I mean, it's balanced. It depends on the Embiid you get, right? Like, ultimately, yeah. I guess only go as far as Embiid. I think we all know that, right? So if he's a dominant Embiid, you have enough playmaking there, enough defense, right? I worry about your, like, from scratch offensive creation, just knowing how Embiid gets in the playoffs as the defense gets mucked up. That's a lot to put on Tyrese Maxey, and he kind of struggled under the strain just during the stretch that Embiid's been gone. But, like, ultimately, I think it's decent enough in the East.
Okay,
yeah,
I like it.
You used to remember this.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yep.
I just also believe when I see it. I just think we love to do this year over year. Do y'all remember a couple years ago in the West where I think the Lakers were one of them? I think because the Lakers and the Suns, people were talking themselves in. It's like a 2-7, I think. Was that what the Lakers were? Where people were like, oh, this is going to be upset city come playoff time because it's going to be.
It would have been had we been healthy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. There's a reason that the Lakers were 7 because there were health concerns, and that's part of what goes into upset. Do you need guys to be available?
Available, and we were kicking their tail until AD got injured again.
And then you lost. And the whole thing was like, there was one upset on both sides of the bracket, that whole first round, that whole tournament, like the start of the playoffs that year. Everyone was talking about, man, there's so many great upset potential here. And then we get one lower seeded team won their first round series in an upset fashion. I just think it's fun, but I worry so much about Embiid being gone for so long and the Sixers not being able to hold the fort that I think we're going to talk ourselves into the Sixers being able to upset the Bucks or the Celtics. But I'm going to bet against it. I think a lot of people are going to they're going to run with it. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to go down. And unfortunately, this just sucks, I think, kind of if you're a Sixers fan, because as we see another big time Joel Embiid injury, you just never know when the next one is going to be the one that just changes his career and just is like, okay, he's not coming back from this. He's not going to be the same. He looked the same tonight, but the injuries add up. He's getting up there in age, and you just kind of hate that to me, I think it's going to end up being another wasted all-time great Joel Embiid MVP season.
Yeah, it's one thing with holding a fort, and it's also they made significant moves while he was out, and they don't have a lot of time to get acclimated, right? So Embiid, he made improvements as far as passing out of the post and things like that, so it's going to be interesting to see how used to playing with Buddy Hield in those lineups he gets, even though Doc Rivers isn't the biggest fan of staggering. He's not going to sit anymore. What am I talking about? But it's just going to be interesting to see them come together. I'm also not sure if Kyle Lowry's ever played with that type of player. We just dump it into the post and kind of figure it out. Truth be told, I haven't seen a ton of Kyle Lowry in Philadelphia, but in Miami, he was very inconsistent with the catch and shooting and also not shooting at all sometimes when he was open. And so they have a lot to figure out in a short amount of time.
Yeah. But we'll see. Ultimately, we'll see. Speaking of questions in the East, Corbin, what are the Knicks capable of if OG Anunoby and Mitchell Robinson are not available for the NBA playoffs for them?
A heck of a second round.
So are you taking, like, they've lost three straight. I mean, do you think they beat the Magic in a 7-game series without both of them?
Oh, that'd be an ugly series. Yeah, I think they have enough talent to beat the Magic. Maybe a bit of a tight one. I'm not saying it'd be easy, but you know, they have enough. There's some upset potential, I guess, if you buy certain elements over Orlando, but they just struggle to score consistently.
Yeah.
And if you struggle to score consistently in this regular season, in this day and age, 2024, the playoffs still mean something. It still does get tired in the playoffs. So like they're already bad defense. It'll be like the Orlando Magic playoff team of 2019, you know? Like, those are some rough games. You know what I mean? Like, no, I think the Knicks have enough to get past them. Now, when you start talking about the Bucks and the Celtics, you know, I don't know, even the Sixers, right? Like, that's where things get a little interesting to me. Sixers, just because Joel Embiid and the size factor, I think, is still a thing. Also, that'd be a relatively ugly series. But, like, that one, right? Once they get the Bucks and Celtics, I just don't think without OG or Mitchell Robinson or Julius Randle that they're at that level. I just don't think that's the case.
And then, I mean, they might actually, because the Heat right now have won three straight, Kenny. I mean, the Heat can move up. The Heat can get as high as, what, five? They can't get to the four. They can get to the five there, right?
They could get to five if everything breaks right. And they got a big win tonight against the Knicks. But if everything breaks right, they could end up at five.
Do you want five? I mean, obviously, you probably want Orlando in round one.
Yeah.
And then Miami. I mean, Boston in the second game. Yeah, that's...
Nobody in the East scares me.
Oh, that is the most Miami Heat fan answer of all time.
Well, Boston's been great, but yeah, the Heat have also kind of had Boston's number. And, well, they have Kristaps Porzingis, but Bam's always had Kristaps Porzingis' number. And so, and when the Celtics did get the big win against the Heat, Jimmy Butler was out this season. So I don't know. Boston is at the point now where they're championship contenders, and they have been at some point. I don't care anything about the regular season when it comes to any championship contender. So I don't know. But the question wasn't even about the Heat. What was it?
Oh, no. I mean, it includes the Heat because the Knicks have lost three straight. Yeah. OG, I don't think, is coming back. I think OG, it sounds like they're – I mean, the reporting has been like they don't want to – they want to make sure it's completely done. The injury stuff is completely cleared up, and it just seems like that's not going to happen. In the regular season and the postseason. So it's like you pencil or you just X out OG and then Mitchell gets hurt again. So it's like if Mitchell Robinson's not there, I mean, you could see a slide. I mean, Jalen Brunson's been amazing, but you can see a slide there. And they that five spot is not on lock, even the four spot for them. So I think it's possible. And teams like the Heat or the Pacers can absolutely move and usurp them.
Oh yeah, they're not going anywhere without OG and Anobi. I'm sorry, that's just not happening. He's way too important to that team's defense.
Yeah,
getting a lot of transition with his defense, and it's unfortunate because OG and Anobi is a great player, but he is very injury prone, and so they kind of probably knew what they were getting themselves into when they traded for him. But you know, and it's gonna end up, well, Julius Randle may be back by that time, but you never know what you're gonna get out of Julius Randle, particularly in playoff time where he just decides, all right, well, hey, it's Julius Randle time. I'm on a pinch post. I'm shooting this no matter what. Get out the way. And it's detrimental to the team. And so with no OG and Anobi there to stabilize things, I just don't believe in that team at all. Which is unfortunate because Jalen Brunson's been incredible. But
yeah,
they need OG.
Do they remind you of the Isaiah Thomas Celtics, the way they play?
They actually do. I picked up on that today. There's a lot of... Well, Jalen Brunson was really struggling with the Heat's defense and like the traps and like throwing a bunch of different stuff at him, but they were just a boatload of screens just trying to get him something and then kind of getting out the way and letting him try to do something. It actually did. I actually thought about this today while I was watching the game.
And I don't know. I mean, good season. It's a fun year. It's fun for the Knicks. Knicks fans enjoy it, but I don't see this team going far. I don't see them getting out of the first round. It's just my thing. Chris, I mean, you're from the most familiar with OG Anunoby here. Does it surprise you, one, that he's dealing with more injuries in New York? And two, I mean, what are the Knicks missing without OG Anunoby down the stretch here?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily surprised because he was the type of player that, even though he would play injured, he didn't want to play injured. He was someone who was thinking months down the road, years down the road. And if these injuries, like with his elbow and his arm, are nagging, then yeah, like I would try and address that, because if in a perfect world, if the Knicks are completely healthy and Anunoby and Robinson and Randle are out there, honestly, their ceiling is winning the East. Like Anunoby is that much of a difference maker, and Randle is like that perfect 1-2 punch with Jalen Brunson. But without those guys available, like, yeah, they could easily fizzle out in the first round. Like, I don't think that match, like Corbin said it, like that matchup with Orlando would be ugly as shit. Like, I wouldn't want to watch it. But yeah, I think if New York is serious about winning a title and Anunoby is not going to be 100% if they throw him out there tomorrow, then yeah, I would focus on getting him right. You know, I think he's going to be sticking around no matter what. I think the Knicks made that trade because they want to prioritize keeping him. So if they need to consider this season a wash, if they're like, you know what, maybe we'll add another guy over the offseason, this is just simply Boston's year, I'm cool with that. Sacrifice this year for the greater good and maybe vie for a title next year or the year after.
I'm curious how it works and if they go big game hunting this summer too, because I think they're close. I think when they're healthy, I think
very close.
The Knicks are they're close to being a real contender of getting out of the East. But we'll see what ultimately happens here. I just don't think it's going to be a long playoff run for New York. Chris Wilder, Wilder, Walder, Wilder, Wild Walder. NBA thought of the week. What is it this week, sir?
I don't know if this qualifies as wild, but it kind of works with the game that just happened tonight between the San Antonio Spurs and the Denver Nuggets. There is Nikola Jokic is the only player in basketball right now that I would not trade for Victor Wembanyama. That includes literally everyone else. I would trade Luka for him. I would trade Giannis for him, AD, Shea, Tatum tomorrow. For this kid, the guy was, I know, I'm not holding the Spurs record against him because he did not have a lot to work with this year. And he just lost his second and fourth leading scorer for the rest of the season. And they're still being competitive because Wembanyama is that good. I think he was two assists and one block shy of a friggin' quadruple double tonight. Like, you know, he's going to get one sooner or later, maybe to close out the season. But the more I watch of Wembanyama, like, this is the most spectacular player to enter the league since LeBron, maybe ever. Like, the greatest prospect we've ever seen. And it's crazy to think that this was like a rookie of the year race with Chet Holmgren earlier in the year. I know a lot of that was because of the Thunder's success and how much of that was Chet's doing with his defense and what have you. But Victor Wembanyama is like this transitional talent who, you know, you would butt your team for in a heartbeat. The only thing that worries me is because players of that stature we've seen in the past, like Yao Ming, for example, like the ankles are always the first thing to go. And with the way that Wembanyama plays, like he can go out on the perimeter, he can attack the basket. He's not simply a post-up player. Maybe those injury concerns will happen sooner in his career rather than like into his 30s or whenever that occurs. But yeah, I saw some of the highlights of tonight's game and I'm like, yeah, I mean, since no one in the league has figured out how to stop Jokic, and I still think Denver's going to win the NBA championship this year, he's like that one untouchable because he's still winning and he's just as dominant, and he proved that again tonight. But like Wembanyama, like holy shit, like he is special.
Mm-hmm. Man, I think like, do y'all, is that the one? Chet's been awesome. Like watching Chet, yeah. Chet is going to be a really good long time for a long time. Like Chet is going to be a superstar. Like he's going to be a max player. Chet's really, really good. I don't know, Victor. It's like one of those things where you talk about like who you would not trade Victor for, who you would not trade for Victor. It's so stupid because you look around the league, like Embiid's impact, Jokic's impact, Wembanyama's impact now. Like clearly there is still a lot of value in having a dominant big, and Bam, even at Miami, like what Bam means to a deep playoff run for them. And you see kind of with Boston, they've had another dimension. They've been a different kind of team with Kristaps at the five for them. So that's been a huge help for them. I still just, this is maybe just dumb. Like I'm always going to be super wary of that kind of height and the foot issues, the knee issues, the just the things that come with being that size. I don't know. I mean, AD, Corbin, you're familiar with that in Lakerland. I mean, it's just, we'll see. This is year one for Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio. I hope he stays healthy. I mean, Chet just had to miss his whole rookie season on a freak foot thing in Summer League, which feels like forever ago now. But like, we don't know. He got through year one. But those guys in that kind of height and what he's able to do on a basketball court, I would, as silly as it is, I would just still be very, really scared of building around Victor long term as like the one guy. Like if you're OKC, you're like, I hope he's healthy, but like Jalen Williams is quietly turning into a star. We've got a max player in SGA. Like we have other options. If this 7-footer can't stay on the floor, we can pivot a little bit. Mm-hmm. Spurs have nowhere to pivot. Like we are building around Victor. We don't have a point guard. We're like just Victor figured out, let Victor cook. I don't know. I think it's going to be really, really fascinating to see how it works. And just, it's a team building thing, right? Like everybody has their own preferences, but mm-hmm. for me, I think this is why I've always latched on to the Clippers is I guess I just would build and continue to build the way Lawrence Frank has, which is just when you can acquire top 10 wings in the sport, like I'm just going to prioritize that over bigs, top 10 bigs, top 10 guards, because there are just so few guys like Paul George. There are so few guys like Anthony Edwards, so few guys like Kawhi Leonard, that if I can get two of those and they're healthy, because I mean, they're both top 15 in plus minus this year. They're the only teammates that are in the top 15 this season. That's the way I would do it. So like, maybe that makes me different in terms of how a lot of folks look around the league, but I'm still going to prioritize elite wings over guys like Victor.
I do think with Victor, we can't necessarily look at this year just because of who he has with him. Mm-hmm. Now he did kind of take a little bit of a jump when they decided to start Trey Jones and mm-hmm. had some kind of point guard with him in the lineup. And so that was great, but there's going to come a time, I'd say pretty soon, to where players want to go down to San Antonio and play with him because he is something we've never seen before. And so I do think we do kind of have to look at that aspect of it. This is also barring health. And he does the stretching and the workouts and stuff to kind of avoid injuries as best he can. But as long as he's able to stay healthy, this is the worst he's going to be for the next 10, 11, 12 years. And so I'd also factor that in, his age and what he's doing so far. The defense, just, I don't want to say something we've never seen before. We've had incredible rim protectors and stuff like that, but it's just something we haven't seen in a very long time. And with the league, him and Dude getting like Embiid, bigger again.
We were blown away when Embiid was pulling up from three. Like when Embiid was Embiid's a good 3-point shooter. Like it's just kind of insane that someone who can dominate and with his size and ability, that Joel Embiid is an actual good knockdown shooter. Like that is an insane thing that Embiid is that good and you just trust him that much. Because look at Giannis. You make it seem like it's an easy thing. Embiid makes it look easy, being that multidimensional and multi-talented, that like, I don't know. I think Victor, like the 40-20 stuff, like it's just another level of scoring ability while also just being the kind of crazy defender that Embiid is without the debt, without the, I mean, he's got the height, but obviously he's never going to put on pounds like Embiid or anything. And I don't think he really necessarily needs to put on a lot of weight.
He shouldn't. I don't think he should.
Yeah. And just like these guys coming over from Europe and playing against like grown ass men. Like, this is just the future of the game. All these guys coming over from Europe and coming with this like load of experience. And like Kenny was mentioning, like this may be the worst Victor version of Victor Wembanyama we ever see. And he's probably the most unstoppable guy in the league outside of Jokic just because of his height. The guy can dunk like just standing there, putting his arm up. Blocking shots comes naturally because, all again, with that wingspan and his height, like he truly is, like, again, outside of LeBron James, and we all know what LeBron James ended up being. Like, I think Wembanyama, like, we're talking like championships, and I like the idea of players wanting to go to San Antonio because, you know, even with like the Dallas Mavericks, for example, like Luka Doncic is this unicorn, but not many players have been aching to go to Dallas to join Luka's cause to win a championship for the Mavericks. I can see that being the polar opposite for San Antonio. Like, even like just a semi-decent, like all-star-esque point guard to join the conversation and help San Antonio. I think Wembanyama is going to win more championships than Luka in his career.
Ooh. I think I believe that. Because Luka's play style, and I like Luka. I'm over here in Dallas. I know how big of a deal he is. I actually love Luka, but his play style is kind of like what Kobe said in the interview he had with T-Mac, to where in the playoffs you can really key in on that. You just focus so much on one player. And so I don't know how far you really get with that. Luka's incredible. He'll get his numbers, and he'll will his team to some wins. But as far as championships, I don't know if that's – he'd have to make some adjustments to his style.
Yes.
I also just, I don't know, the thing about the Spurs is they still get a lot of benefit of the doubt because of who they were. But the brain drain in San Antonio in that front office with Pop's coaching staff, I mean, they were a dumpster fire. I mean, they obviously made a terrible trade for Kawhi. Like, that, there's no defending it now. There was no defending it at the time. Like, that is not the kind of trade you make for Kawhi Leonard. That's just, regardless of the circumstances, you just can't do it.
I think it was a pretty great trade, if you ask me.
I mean, I know you enjoyed it, but they were in NBA purgatory, and they, like, I mean, just going into this year, like, I don't think any of us agreed with how they approached year one for Victor. Like, I don't think they did him any favors with the backcourt depth and with how they handled easing him into the NBA. I still don't think they're a well-run franchise anymore in terms of the rest of the NBA. I think they're near the bottom. There's a reason they've gradually started to slip. I don't think they deserve the same kind of benefit of the doubt that they did in years past. And I think that's something I worry about with Victor in San Antonio, is people just have penciled in the Spurs way. But a lot of those Spurs guys, and the guys who were involved with Tim Duncan, the guys who were involved with Kawhi, they're long gone. And I mean, Pop is still there, but Pop will not be there much longer. I don't know how much Pop's going to be roaming the sidelines, but I'm not betting on the Spurs infrastructure anymore like I would have 10 years ago. If Victor came into the San Antonio organization 10 years ago, sign me up. Like, 100%, I'm right there with you. Victor in the San Antonio Spurs organization in 2024, I'm still selling. Like, I think Chet's going to have a better career. I think Chet, if I had to bet on who wins more titles between Chet and Victor, I'd probably go Chet. Yeah. I think the Thunder are going to win some.
You know what? Yeah, because the Thunder are an incredibly run organization, and you are right about the Spurs. I'd forgotten about how they also bungled the DeJounte Murray thing as well.
Yep.
And so I can't say you don't have a point.
I don't know. I'm just
Here's a fun question. If you swapped positions with Holmgren and Wembanyama right now, how does the season end for the Thunder? Wembanyama's in that starting five with Oklahoma City.
They got the one seed. No, I'm kidding.
They still get the one seed. Do they win the championship?
I don't think so, because young teams just don't. Yeah, like that young, level of youth, it'd be unprecedented. Like, they just don't do it.
Wemby's unprecedented.
Yeah, but this is special, though. Like, Wembanyama, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Is he that much better Jaylen than Williams. Chet?
Yes.
Chet's really good.
And that Wembanyama is really, 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 really good.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know if he makes that much where he pushes him over the top and winning a title. I don't think he beats the Nuggets. I don't think anyone's beating the Nuggets in the West. So, no, I don't think he makes a difference this year. But now that'd be something just like behind closed doors. I would love to get some true serum and Presti and be like, Chet or Victor, you have your pick right now. Who do you bring in? Because I guarantee
crazy not to say Wembanyama. Of course they love Chet, but like if you said like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or like Jokic, for example, like if there's a player better than what you have, even if you are successful, like you have to explore that option and say like I want to make my team better.
Hold on, you don't know how the Atlanta Hawks do business. They say no until there's absolutely no leverage and they get him for nothing.
And I also I didn't say this earlier too. I just wanted to add like it sucks that like the Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls, like the play-in tournament and like teams that are well above 500, like the Lakers and the Warriors, are going to be like grasping for straws, hopefully to get out. Like again, we've joked about it, but like the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference, like it's night and day.
I don't know. I mean, look, I think America's ready for DeMar DeRozan and DeAndre Hunter to go back and forth and play in the plan. I think it's gonna be fun. Kenny, Miami Heat, what is the latest? You won three straight. We talked last week, the injury bug killing things. Tyler Hero obviously was the one that you're most worried about, but where are things with the Heat and why they've been able to win three in a row?
So the sun is starting to come out. God's starting to come back. Duncan Robinson's back now. Kevin Love played again tonight. Tyler Hero's ramping up, and that's going to be interesting because Terry Rozier, when he first got to Miami, couldn't make a shot, and now he can't miss one. And they were generating good looks with each other, but they just weren't making the shots, or Tyler would have a good game and Terry wouldn't, or Terry would have a decent game and Tyler would be bad. So they have about seven games to figure it out if Tyler were to come back next game. I don't think he will, but he's ramping up. But what I will say, every year there's a Miami Heat guy who in the playoffs just stocks people and everybody's like, who the hell is this guy? Whether we're talking about Max Strus, whether you're talking about Gabe Vincent, whether you're talking about Caleb Martin. This year, I fully believe it's going to be Haywood Highsmith. He is one of the best defenders in the NBA. I say that completely unbiased, with the physicality, with the quick hands, just incredible. Jalen Brunson shot 5 for 18 tonight. And a lot of that was mostly because of Haywood Highsmith. And he's been doing stuff like that since he got to Miami, but in short minutes because offense was the issue. He'd make bad decisions or he wouldn't cut at the right time and he couldn't shoot. Well, right now he's shooting 56% from three in his last 10 games. And that's gone down, I think, tonight because he missed a couple. And he's making smart plays on the offensive end. And so it's getting to a point where he can't be denied for playing time. And again, just the defense is incredible. So I feel like he's going to be the guy who shocks the world in the playoffs this year for the Miami Heat. Haywood Highsmith.
Haywood Highsmith. Okay. I like it. I like it. Corbin, final thing here. Corbin's Corner. What NBA thought has been running around your brain that has you fascinated the most this week, sir?
Honestly, you know, we're just trying to get a race to the six. I really just want to see how the West shakes out. Like, that's my thought. That's it, right? A lot of tantalizing matchups. I mean, you had the Warriors and the Mavs today. April 4th, what you have? There's a big game April 4th. I forgot. I think it's the Rockets and the Warriors. There's a few games on April
4th. Is that Thursday?
Yes. Don't know why I'm saying April 4th.
Is that on TNT?
I think it – no, actually. I think it's League Pass. Because I remember it being like,
that. Flex it. Like, that should be on TV. Yeah.
By the way, 10 seconds left, Warriors up by 4 against the Mavericks as we're recording this. The Kings, you know, sans Kevin Herter, sans Malik Monk went and blew out the Clippers while beat them by 14. Like, you've had some tough matchups. I'm going to the Nuggets versus the Timberwolves next week. So I'm just really pumped to see a lot of these games come down to the wire. Like, that's the biggest thing for me. Like, how it all shakes out, I think that's the only thought you can really have right now, right? I mean, starting to look at draft stuff, starting to be disappointed by draft stuff, but, you know.
I mean, Dalton Connect, I'm going to miss him. So he goes out flamethrowing. I know everybody was watching Tennessee and Zach. Dalton Connect, he's going to be fun. He's going to be in the lottery, and he could be on one of our teams. I don't think he's going to be a Heat. I don't think that he'd have an opportunity to get him, but he would be great in Miami. He'd be a lot of fun. Connect feels actually a slow guy.
He's too good to be like a Miami Heat. Like, guy, as far as like the guy who comes out shooting, like the Duncan Robinsons and the Max Struces, he's too good to be one of those. But I completely see what you're saying. Like, he if he were
he buys into the defense. Like, he picked Tennessee because he wanted Rick Barnes to coach him hard defensively. Like, I think he would be inspired by Spo and making him work to make the floor. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the organization, the Heat organization just has weird, I don't want to say weird because it's been successful, but they just don't care about draft picks.
Yeah.
I think the last time Pat Riley traded for a first round draft pick, actually my co-host on Playoff Out told us, it was somewhere in the 90s.
Yeah.
Pat Riley does not care about draft picks. He's just going, whether it's Gabe Vincent, whether it's Max Strus, whether it's Udonis Haslam, whether it's Bruce Bowen, they're going to bring guys from barely out of the league in tournament or something. That's what they're into. So Darn Connects, I love it, but he's just too good. I don't think they're going to.
Yeah. He could be a Raptor, though. Are you grinding the Dalton Connect Tennessee tape here, Chris? Are you ready?
Absolutely not.
What do you mean? Scotty Barnes, Dalton Connect, Grady Dick.
Dude, you're asking the wrong guy. I don't follow a lick of college basketball. Dude, it's hard enough to watch the Toronto Raptors these days. You think I'm following all this? Like, the reason, and in all honesty, the reason I don't watch much college basketball is because I know the draft is crap, and I don't want to like see like the prospects that are coming the Raptors' way if they do keep their pick,
yeah,
and how awful it could be compared to previous drafts. So leave me out of this.
Where's the most annoying place Zach Edey could wind up, Corbin?
Portland.
Oh,
He's gonna be a Raptor, guys. He's gonna be a Raptor. I hear it.
Actually, yeah, and I should say that's probably the most annoying place he can wind up. Just less floor spacing, more like weird lineups. Yeah, you're right.
36 minutes of Jakob Poeltl and then 12 minutes of Zach Edey.
That's probably all that he can play. Yeah.
I don't think
just it's the Infinity Stones, like Masai Ujiri, just like Canadian. Put him on the Raptors.
We should do a Masai alert every week. Like, what? Let's do a percentage each week, Chris. The percentage that Masai Ujiri is the GM of the Raptors on opening night next year. What's the percentage?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
He ain't going anywhere.
All right. We'll see unless how many he doesn't
want to
be. Takes.
Unless he doesn't want the job. Yeah. Unless he doesn't want the job. That's the only reason he'd be gone, is if he just wants to do something else.
Interesting. Maybe that's a Bob Myers thing. He pops up and he's like, suddenly one day you're like, the new GM of the Toronto Blue Jays, Masai Ujiri, he got bays. Like, I'm done with this. I'm transitioning out of this. I'm going to go tackle something else. Corbin, what can the good folks check out from you all across the internet this week?
I've been doing a good series on Switch Theory, talking about rebuilding teams, just how we would attack it from multiple aspects. So like from roster, from coaching, long-term direction, draft philosophy, all of that mixed in. So we did one on the Atlanta Hawks, Houston Rockets, and the Brooklyn Nets are coming. So that's one thing. The Next Pro Show, check it out if you're into AAU basketball. I know we talk about young people in basketball, so you know, it's a thing. Aside from that, ramble as the playoffs really start, we're trying to kick into form and been doing positional rankings and trying to find the time to do daily shows like we were. It's been so much busier on my end, but that's still the goal, and hopefully some collaboration with some fine people here on this panel. So that's what to stay tuned for here on my end, my neck of the woods.
I love it. Kenny, what about you over at Playoff Foul this week?
Yeah, so last episode we did, which is out now, we had an episode about the Grit and Grind Grizzlies with special guest Molly Morrison. Yeah, so she grew up watching the Grizzlies in the Grit and Grind era, so we kind of talked to her about her experiences with that. She had some interesting stories about Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph, meeting them personally and things like that, so that was a really cool thing. Tomorrow we plan on recording a sort of an update on the NCAA tournament. Because it's just the NCAA tournament is incredible. We can't ignore it. We're a basketball show, not just NBA. We just, whatever's going on, we want to talk about. And so we want to give some credit to some guys who stood out and girls who stood out, because Caitlin Clark is ridiculous. So we got to talk about her. I have something to say about you, about LSU specifically, and like the way they've been, I don't want to say portrayed, because that would be based on something that has to do with them in some sense. And this has just been a whole lot of just stuff I haven't really enjoyed seeing as far as the criticism of them and how little of it has to do with basketball. So I have something to say about that. Juju Watkins, it's going to be a great episode. So we plan on recording that tomorrow.
I love it. It's also weird that like Paige Beckers, is it Beckers or Beckers?
Beckers.
Beckers, yeah. Beckers, where it's like, she's really good. But it's just weird that UConn, who's still alive, like any, it's just, I grew up obviously watching Lady Balls and Candace and company, and like you see the like Dinah Taurasi, obviously back in the day. And I mean, it's just funny that UConn is this good again, and their star is just not in the national conversation, like Caitlin Clark and Juju. And I'm not saying she should, or like I'm not well versed enough to say either way, but I just think it's kind of weird that at this point in time that the UConn best player is not in the, oh, I can't wait to see Paige versus Caitlin Clark or Paige versus Juju. It's just not been that.
Well, what happened is she was like the top of the top, but then she had the injury.
Yeah.
And then that's when Caitlin Clark kind of became this mega star, and Angel Reese made a name for herself after the transfer to LSU from Maryland. So I don't want to say she's kind of catching up. And then there's also the, like, you know, UConn's going to be there no matter what. Yeah. Times. So it's just like, I guess they just don't care as much, but she's an incredible player also.
Yeah. I'm excited for the Final Four on the women's side and the men's side. I think, but not the Final Four for the men's side. I hope the national championship is just Purdue versus UConn, because I think that's the best game possible, and I think that would be a lot of fun. Chris, what about you over there at Odd Shark and Raptors Republic this week?
Yeah, find me on Odd Shark. Raptors Republic had some bad picks tonight. I picked the New York Knicks money line over the Miami Heat, like their chances on the road. That failed me, and I also thought the Clippers and the Kings would engage in a more high scoring game. They definitely hit the under tonight without Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers. So not my best evening in terms of picks, but stay tuned for more expert picks, same game parlays over at Odd Shark. I'm also previewing WrestleMania, WrestleMania XL out in Philadelphia this weekend. The Rock is making his triumphant return. And yes, you can bet on professional wrestling, a pre-orchestrated sports entertainment show. So you can put your money down on that. But yeah, lots of fun things coming. And of course, check me out on social media at Walder Sports.
Honey, why is all of our stuff in the front yard? Look, I thought Seth Rollins was a lock. I don't know what to tell you. Like, the dirt sheet said he was a lock, him and Cody. I put a lot down. We're moving back in with my parents. Well, there you go. Corbin Ford, Chris Walder, Kenny Spence, thank you guys as always. And I'll talk to y'all next week.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.